This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
Good morning. We'll call the Senate Committee on Commerce and Energy to order this morning. We have what was originally a long agenda that has been truncated significantly, so we'll get through it fairly efficiently. If you're testifying before the committee this morning, I'd remind you to make sure that you sign in on the attendance record back on the dais. And if you appear before the committee to testify on behalf of anyone other than yourself, please ensure you have the appropriate attire attached to your person. If you've not had the opportunity to do so, you can take a trip downstairs and get that accomplished before you appear before the committee. We'd request that you silence all electronic devices of any sort. We've been able to make several donations to the Wounded Warrior Project so far this session, and I would definitely like the opportunity to continue to do that. So if you want to leave them on, it's okay with me. I'm sure the Wounded Warriors would appreciate it as well. If you'd please call roll for us, Lois.
Senators Bradford.
Here.
Sutton.
Here.
Hagar.
Here.
Sharma.
Here.
Northrup.
Here.
Greenfield.
Present.
Curd.
Here.
Everyone is accounted.
Quorum exists for Senate Commerce and Energy. I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes from our last meeting on Tuesday. Motion to approve the minutes by Senator Greenfield, seconded by Senator Hagar. There's a comment on the motion by Senator Bradford, apparently.
I want a third motion.
The motion has been thirded. Perhaps the first time in the history of the committee. We'll record it for posterity. All in favor of approval of the minutes?
Aye.
Any opposed? Minutes are approved. We're going to Senate Bill 137 that's on our agenda for this morning has been pulled by the bill's prime sponsor, so it will not be considered this morning. And we're going to go below the line, I think, first and pick up Senate Bill 115, who's been available for prior hearing. My understanding is that we have some additional developments on 115. Senator Tiedemann, would you like to make some comments for the committee this morning?
Mr. Chair, Larry Tiedemann, District 7, State Senator. I appreciate the committee's indulgence on Senate Bill 115. You've given us the time. Department of Revenue has drafted a letter that meets our needs on this bill, and it's with great sadness that I ask you to table Senate Bill 115.
Thank you, Senator. Terrific pitch for a bill. Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move to table Senate Bill 115.
Okay, Senate Bill 115, motion to table by Senator Greenfield, seconded by Senator Sutton. It's non-debatable. All in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Lois.
Senators Northrup.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Bradford.
No.
Sharma.
Aye.
Hagar.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Curd.
Aye.
6-1.
Senate Bill 115 has been tabled on a 6-1 vote. Thank you very much.
If you'd change, we could put it on consent.
No way. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Next item that Commerce and Energy will consider is House Bill 1090. It's an act to require certain statements and audits concerning insurance pooling arrangements to be filed with the Department of Legislative Audit. Proponent testimony in favor of House Bill 1090. Morning.
Morning. Morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm Dan Dryden, State Representative, Rapid City. House Bill 1090 requires auditing of insurance pool arrangements. Insurance pool arrangements are made possible by the Joint Powers Agreement under 1-24, and it allows public agencies to join together to create insurance programs. It can be property liability, various insurance issues, including health insurance and accident insurance and so forth. This past summer at our GOAC, Government Operations Audit Committee, there was an issue that came before us that we dealt with regarding a pool that had not had an audit, and this bill kind of came out of that Government Operations and Audit. It's not a committee bill, but as chair of the committee, I brought it forward, and it requires these arrangements to have an audit and file it with the Auditor General in accordance with acceptable accounting principles. And with that, it's pretty simple. With that, I'd ask your support and approval of this bill.
Thank you, Representative. Further proponent testimony for House Bill 1090. Morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League. We operate three of these pools. We're very proud of how they operate and proud of the services we're able to offer to our members. We have been filing these audits voluntarily with legislative audit for years, and so the only difference that this bill will make to us is that they will now appear on the legislative audit website along with where they already appear on our own websites. And so we do support this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Further proponent testimony for House Bill 1090.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Wade Pogany. I'm representing the Associated School Boards of South Dakota. We, too, have an arrangement with the pooling. We have a health fund, property and liability, and a workman's compensation fund. And I appeared before some of you this summer voluntarily. I talked to the executive committee. I talked to Representative Dryden's committee with GOAC, and just wanted to tell you about the changes that we've made in our health fund, and pretty significant changes. We have struggled in the past to keep up with medical expenses and premiums, and we've used fund reviews in the past, and now we have our audits in place. Our audit is completed, and we are very welcome to share these with the legislative audit. I'm also happy to tell you that because of the changes that we've made, and those took effect in July of this year, we're doing very well. The fund is turning around. In the past, those first 6 months, even though we still have some debt, we've cut that down by $2 million in 6 months. And so, you know, it's maybe a little bit like the state. We've been struggling to keep up with those kinds of plans. We had too many plans. We had issues with our discounts and some of those things, but we've turned those things around. So I'm very welcome with 1090. I'm very happy with the changes that we've made, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you, Mr. Pogany. Further proponent testimony for House Bill 1090. Are there any in attendance that would wish to testify against House Bill 1090? Okay, any committee questions, comments, or action regarding House Bill 1090? Senator Nostrup.
Thank you. As the Senate Prime, I think it was laid out well, and think it's a good change. So, thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll move due pass on House Bill 1090.
Okay. A motion by Senator Greenfield that House Bill 1090 receive a due pass affirmative vote, seconded by Senator Sutton. Any comments on your motion other than those that Senator Nostrup supplied?
No, I think that was compelling enough, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Was. Senator Sutton, did you want to add anything to the record after the tremendous comments made by Senator Nostrup?
No comment.
All right. The motion by Senator Greenfield is that House Bill 1090 receive a due pass vote. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote nay.
Nostrup?
Aye.
Bradford?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Hagar?
Aye.
Sharma?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Kurd?
Aye.
The vote's unanimous.
House Bill 1090 has received a unanimous due pass vote for approval.
Thank you.
I did.
Oh, you did it first.
I did it first.
So should I make a motion to put it on consent, Mr. Chair?
If you feel so inclined.
I feel so inclined.
Senator Greenfield's made a motion that House Bill 1090 be placed on the consent calendar, seconded by Senator Hagar. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? House Bill 1090 will be on the Senate consent calendar. Thank you, Representative.
Thank you.
Senator Bradford, for those of you listening in, was so impressed with Senator Nostrup's pitch on this House bill that he wanted to actually hear it on the Senate floor again, so he's disappointed that we're going to have it on the consent. You can always pull it from the consent calendar if you'd like to do that. That'll be outstanding. The next item for consideration by the Commerce and Energy Committee this morning is House Bill 1187, and that's to allow the Office of the Secretary of State to refuse to file certain documents. Proponent testimony for House Bill 1187. Good morning.
Good morning. Again, good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Nancy Rasmussen, and I represent Clay and Turner County, District 17. I'm having some handouts passed out just now, but I would like to say that House Bill 1187 before you this morning comes from the Secretary of State's office. House Bill 1187 is a request for uniformity in statute. So if you will note on the handout, I'll wait until you all have your handout. At the top of your page, you'll see that municipalities and counties have the power to regulate obscene material or obscene live conduct. In the second, in the middle of your page, you will see that we have trademarks, references to our trademarks, 3766. Trademarks containing immoral, deceptive, or scandalous material are not registerable. And in the very bottom, you will see that we are addressing personalized license plates. And in 32.589.2, it says at the very bottom, the secretary may refuse to issue any letter combination which carries connotations offensive to good taste and decency. If you would look on your bill with me on line 5, this is what the Secretary of State's office is asking. The Office of the Secretary of State's may refuse to file any document for any business entity, whether domestic or foreign, for profit or nonprofit, as provided in Title 47, 48, Chapter 37.6, or Chapter 37.11, if the document contains any letter combination that carries connotations offensive to good taste and decency, or consists of immoral, deceptive, or scandalous material. Members of the committee, a favorable vote would create uniformity in statute and would give the Secretary of State's office the discretion to decide. Thank you for your time, and I would like to ask for a favorable vote.
Thank you, Representative. Thank you. Further proponent testimony for House Bill 1187.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning.
Members of the committee. My name is Tom Diedrich. I'm a Deputy Secretary of State in charge of business services and also in-house legal counsel for the Secretary of State's office. We bring this bill, as Representative Rasmussen said, and we thank her for being the prime on it and carrying it through so successfully in the House and now over here in the Senate. If I was looking at this and I was sitting in your chairs, I'd say, so tell me, what's the problem you have that's going on out there with that? And what I can tell you about it is that we've seen very little problem with it this year. Mary Heidelberger, who works in the office and has worked there for 22 years, is the one who brought it to my attention and said there are problems with it. They do show up from time to time. And I said, well, Mary, can you give me an example of them? Now, if you know Mary, you know that she goes to church every Sunday, probably every Wednesday during Lent and Advent, and goes to two or three Bible studies. And so when I asked her about what those names were, she turned about as red could be, and I wasn't going to go any further than ask what that. She already gave me the answer that I needed for that. But the ones we're trying to get to, and I'm going to ask you to do, you know, the old pink elephant, and I'll get the pink elephant out of your mind, is think of that word or letter combination that you don't want to see displayed all over marquees or going down the highway or on letterheads or on different businesses, and that's the name of a certain business. Now that you have this in your head, that's what we're talking about, that we don't want to see go through there anymore. Another question I would have would be, how are you going to do this? Well, if one shows up that's in any way questionable, we'll take three people, the secretary, myself, and somebody else in the office, and we'll walk through it and say, what does this look like? And if it's something that would be culturally sensitive, and I'm going to tell you right now, we don't have the background for it. So something that would be Native American and culturally sensitive in any such a way, I'm going to go over to the tribal relations people and start asking them and say, you give me some input as to what's going on here. Those are the main parts of it. Another question that has come up with different people at different times is there a First Amendment problem here? As you can see, the language we already have in statute dealing with license plates and dealing with trademarks. And as to the First Amendment, a person can do what they kind of want to do for the most part. So if they want to put something obscene on their T-shirt and walk around with it, they're going to get away with it. But that doesn't mean government has to be implicated with it and in essence saying this is something that government says is okay and become a partner with it. That's what we're trying to get away from, is those kinds of situations. Thank you. I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you, Deputy Secretary. Further proponent testimony for House Bill 1187. Seeing none, are there any in attendance that would like to testify in opposition to House Bill 1187? If not, committee questions, comments, actions on House Bill 1187.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Sharma.
Question for the sponsor or the gentleman.
You want to state your question and we'll see who wants to tackle it. How about
okay.
that?
There's quite a lot of discretion, I would expect, in judging. There's a company that I'm familiar with, and I won't state their actual corporate name, but their corporate name is something to the effect of Big Posterior Fans. And it's published in lots of magazines. It's registered. If they would look to locate a business here, what process would you go through to decide whether that was an allowable letterhead or something like that?
Thank you, Senator. I think their logo is a donkey or something like that, isn't it? The company you're talking about? Mule?
Mr. Chairman?
Deputy.
Thank you, Senator Sharma, on that. The process would be is we would look at it. We'd take three people within the office, the secretary, myself, and one other person within the office, and say, what do we think this is like? If there's any kind of a question as to what it should be or shouldn't be, we will reach out to other people and go through that kind of a process with it so that we can get as much input as we can. And in essence, trying to look at what would be a statewide standard.
Thank you, Senator.
Follow up, please.
Yeah.
So then there would be a discussion with the company submitting a particular brand letterhead, what have you, corporate registration, and to discuss it with you, or would it just be kind of this is the decision?
There would be a few words and combinations out there that would be pretty black and white. There would be others that would not be so black and white, and we would certainly discuss it with them, which we've done in the past.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Further questions? Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the line of questioning because I think we have a particular winery with a reference to that same word. That's local. I think it's a South Dakota winery. We can rest assured that no trademark is going to be pulled going if they've already got it, correct? Like that.
Nothing retroactive, that's what you're asking.
Correct.
Mr. Chairman? Thank you for the question, Senator Greenfield. You can rest assured.
Thank you.
Further questions on House Bill 1187? Senator Sutton?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and good morning, Deputy Secretary. I have a little bit of concern about the language here that it states connotations offensive to good taste and decency or consists of immoral, deceptive, or scandalous material. So the way I understand it, that you and the Secretary of State and one other person would be deciding what you view as good taste or decency or whether something is moral or immoral. Is that my understanding?
Mr. Chair. Thank you, Senator Sutton. We would start the process. And as I was saying with earlier, I think there's some things that definitely we're all going to agree to and say we aren't going to go down that line. The other ones, we start the process, we'll have discussions with them, we'll see if there's something that maybe could work that's other than where they're at the time, or at the same time be listening to them and say, why do you think this is all good? I don't want to just stop there then. As I said, if we need to reach out to more people because we don't feel like we've got it nailed down, we're going to reach out to more people. And then I think Representative Rounds, who's Senator Curd's counterpart on the House side with this, said, of course, you know, that position's up every 4 years, and if you think they're doing it wrong, you can vote them out. So there's the ultimate check of the ballot box.
Follow up? Not sure how to frame this, but I'll just get to the direct point. Have you been able to or tried to turn away any of these requests in the recent future, or sorry, the recent past at any time? Or, I mean, have there been questionable documents or requests that you would have liked to turn back, but you didn't feel that you had the statutory authority to do so?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, there has. Since I've been here, which would have been since January of last year, I can only remember one right now. I called the gentleman up, we discussed it, went through what I found objectionable, and came to some ground that he could live with as far as what he wanted to go forward with, and everything was resolved that way. As I said, there's been other ones in the past. I don't have the specific examples because when Mary told me, I wasn't going to go any further. I wasn't going to offend her with them, but she was obviously quite offended.
Senator Sutton. Senator Bradford.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I have a little different situation of when you translate our native language, the actual letters originally, I don't know if there was much offensive language in it, but in or as time come along, they have adopted some. But the actual lettering, and I know I heard you say you talked to the tribal people in the Native American, but sometimes the lettering could look offensive when really it's a name that's not, in other words, it's not a really offensive. But I guess my point is, if it came up in the actual English letters, because that's what they translated into, and a lot of times O means A, and in some areas K is pronounced like another. It really means another letter, and the E is the same way. So if it came up Englishly offensive, but yet it was a Native American perfectly harmless meaning, then it would probably be refused. Am I right about that?
Mr. Chairman?
Please.
Senator, I think that's a great question, and it would lead me to this answer, which is, I think anything that would come up, we'd have to look at it from all cultural viewpoints. Because what you're saying, I think, could go the other way, too. That some things would be not offensive to a number of people, but there would be some cultures that would find it greatly offensive to put it out there. So I think we'd have to look at all of that, and we'd have to consider all the different implications with it. And I couldn't say definitely without having it in front of me what would the outcome be. But I think we would be doing the looking.
I was going to ask you a question, kind of a follow-on to Senator Sutton. It sounds like when this occurs currently, you're already handling it internally by discussing it with the applicant, saying we've got some concerns about this particular document you want to file and how it might appear to the public. So if the office is already handling it to satisfactory resolution, it sounds like in most cases, why the necessity to put it into statute at this point?
Mr. Chairman, thank you for the question. And being somebody who likes less government and less regulations, it's a question that would walk through my head very quickly, too. And the reason is our statutory authority to say no is pretty slim at this point in time, if we have any. We're not sure we even have any at this point in time. I'd like to be able to point to something if somebody wants to push the issue, which so far they haven't pushed the issue. But if they want to push the issue, I'd like to have something where I could look at it and say, this is the basis.
So my next question is, with the Supreme Court decision that has recognized corporations as people or as individuals, are you concerned at all that we could be considering changing the statute in such a way that there would be an impact on the presumption of the freedom of speech in this document process? Do you think that's a claim someone could make, that this is a free speech issue? It's my corporation. I've got this particular identifier with it. It's my right to have it out there in this format. Does that cross into your decision-making at any point, or do you think that we might be at hazard of violating the Constitution of the United States with a prohibitive corporation language somewhere through the secretary's office? It's something that crossed my mind as we sat here discussing it. I mean, I understand what you're trying to get at, but there's lots of Supreme Court cases that exist over these kind of issues and what people want to call their companies and all kinds of other things. So it's my question is, has the office considered that as a possible challenge to this particular statute?
Mr. Chairman, we have considered it. Anybody can bring a challenge of any kind they want and say that this is a constitutional challenge. And I don't mean that as a cop-out, but I mean it as the basis of the answer that can always happen to you. In our discussions, my discussions in particular with other attorneys throughout state government, and I can't say in particular I remember the discussion with anybody from the Attorney General's office, but others who are familiar with this, they weren't concerned. But
further committee questions or comments regarding House Bill 1187? Seeing none, committee action for House Bill 1187. Chair. Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move due pass on House Bill 1187.
Second. Senator Greenfield has moved that House Bill 1187 receive an affirmative due pass vote, seconded by Senator Sharma. Comments on your motion?
Thank
Senator
you,
Greenfield.
Mr. Chair, I appreciate it. Again, I point everybody's attention to the handout. We do have similar statutes in place. Relative to the personalized license plate issue, I happen to have way long time ago asked some questions of our Department of Motor Vehicles, and they said that when somebody requests a personalized license plate, they ask for a justification as to what it's a reference to, because they are trying to be sensitive to the person's requests while also recognizing that some requests are just offensive and intended to be. But if somebody can provide justification, they take that into account. And I think that we can work through these things in a fashion where reasonable people can agree, given appropriate and complete information. So I would trust our Secretary of State's office to do that. I also remember a battle that we had just a few years ago about trademarks and whatnot, and I can tell you that these issues do get dicey sometimes, but some of us with minds that wander as we drive down the road and whatnot, think about the different combinations of call letters that a radio station might request and wonder, why hasn't anybody done that? And frankly, there's a good reason why nobody has done that, and there probably needs to be some teeth in the Secretary of State's office to deny some of those requests should they come. So I think this is good legislation. I think that this, essentially
protects the integrity of our system and ensures decency, and it gives the Secretary of State something to hang, the office something to hang their hats on should they choose to deny something that would be seen as salacious or offensive. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further comments on the do pass motion for House Bill 1187? Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote nay. Secretary, if you would please, roll call vote for us.
Senator Sutton.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Hagar.
Aye.
Shorma.
Aye.
Bradford.
No.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Curd.
No.
Four yes, three no.
House Bill 1187 has received a vote of 4-3 on the Greenfield motion for due pass, and it will proceed to the Senate floor with that recommendation. We have a couple of pages here this morning. We don't have any other business, but before we adjourn, I'd like them to come up and say hello and tell us who they are, where they're from, and where they might be headed after their page term is completed, if they would.
Hi, Mr. Chair, if I could interrupt, could they also give us a hobby or an interest, personal interest?
Certainly.
And any pets' names?
Great. Okay, well, my name is Grace Jensen. I'm from Mobridge Pollock High School. I'm planning to attend Black Hills State University next year for economics and finance, and I like to shoot bow and arrow in the summer, and I have a dog named Dozer, and he's about this big, so it's kind of ironic.
Nice, and good job remembering all of the questions you were peppered with. That was outstanding.
Thank you.
Morning.
Good morning. I'm Melissa Wallman. I'm from Hartford, and I go to West Central, and I'm going to go to Dakota Wesleyan next year to major in nursing, and I'd say my favorite hobby is going for walks, and I don't have any pets. Sorry.
No pets, not yet. No pets yet. Any other business? Senator Nostrup.
I want to welcome my fellow Aberdonians. It's Aberdeen Day, so we have a few here, but we're going to have a lot more in the rotunda at noon. And
Aberdonians.
Yep, Aberdonians. And I'm sure Senator Greenfield also wants to welcome them here, too.
I do. In fact, I was going to, but you beat me to the punch. Well done.
Welcome,
thanks for being here, guys.
Welcome, Aberdonians. I had not heard that term before. Is that an official registered trademark through the Secretary of State's office that's been found to be inoffensive? It's good. Any other business before the Committee on Commerce and Energy this morning? Seeing none, a motion to adjourn by Senator Hagar.
Second.
Seconded by Senator Greenfield. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Senate Commerce and Energy stands adjourned. We'll see you next.